वासुदेवाय वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 47 एंटाइटल्ड द सॉन्ग ऑफ द बी एंड वील रीड टेक्स्ट 53 एंड 54 टुडे. टेक्स्ट 53 इज ऑन द बोर्ड सो प्लीज रिपीट. श्री शुक उवाच ततस्तः कृष्ण संदेशैर् व्यपित विरह ज्वरा उद्धवं पूजयाम चक्रूर ज्ञात्वात्मानं अधोक्षजम्. श्रीशुक उवाच ततस्तः कृष्ण संदेशैर् व्यपेत विरह ज्वरा उद्धवं पूजयाम चक्रूर ज्ञात्वात्मानं अधोक्षजम्. श्रीशुक उवाच ततस्तः कृष्ण संदेशैर् व्यपेत विरह ज्वरा उद्धवं पूजयाम चक्रूर ज्ञात्वात्मानं अधोक्षजम्. शुक उवाच ततस्तः कृष्ण संदेशे उद्धवं पूजयाम चक्रूर त्वात्मानं अधोक्षजम्. श्रीशुक उवाच ततस्तः कृष्ण संदेशैर् व्यपेत विरह ज्वरा ततस्तः कृष्ण संदेशैर् इत विरह ज्वरा उद्धवं पूजयाम चक्रूर ज्ञात्वात्मानं अधोक्षजम्. माताजी श्रीशुक उवाच वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन. श्रीशुक उवाच श्री सुखदेव गोस्वामी सेड ततः देन ता दे कृष्ण संदेशै बाय द मैसेजेस फ्रॉम कृष्ण व्यपेत रिमूव्ड विरह ऑफ देयर सेपरेशन ज्वरा द फीवर उद्धवम उद्धव पूजयाम चक्रु वर्शिप्ड ज्ञात्वा रिकग्नाइजिंग हिम आत्मानम हिमसेल्फ अधोक्षजम एज द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड. We'll read the translation of this shloka, the purport, and then the translation and purport of the next shloka also. Translation of text 53. Shukdev Goswami continued, Lord Krishna's messages, having relieved their fever of separation, the gopis then worshipped Uddhava. recognizing him as non-different from their Lord Krishna. Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami states that the word Gyatvatmanam Adhokshajam also indicate that the gopis recognize Lord Krishna to be the very soul of their lives and thus spiritually one with them. Text number 54, we'll read a translation and purport. Uddhava remained there for several months, dispelling the gopis' sorrow by chanting the topics of Lord Krishna's pastimes. Thus, he brought joy to all the people of Gokul. Purport. The great Acharya Jeev Goswami comments in this regard that Uddhava, during his stay in Vrindavan, certainly took special care to enliven Krishna's foster parents, Nanda and Yashoda. Om Agyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamayam Dadati Sva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare There's a small request. Can we switch off this fan? So we welcome everyone to this Bhagavatam class. The worldly definition of success is when we are given some goal to achieve and we engage in different activities and take it to the finishing line. So whatever is needed to be achieved, we achieve it. But mostly the definition of whether I have achieved it or not is as per my understanding. So if somebody is given some service and then he is asked, so did you do it? He says, yes, I did it. Whatever you told me, I did it. I obeyed all your instructions. There's a tick. I did that seva. So in this world, there is no shortage of servants with this mood.
They will do whatever is minimum is told. But those who are serious sevaks, those who are serious about the concept of seva, they define success as, success is not when you do what you are told, but success is when you achieve the result what is expected by the person who gave you that seva. So usually what happens is, these people, when they are given some seva, the sincere servants, they will do the seva. They will do whatever was told. But after doing whatever was told, they will evaluate. Has the purpose been achieved? They'll adjust. Because many times, it is not achieved. And then again they'll re-evaluate. Has the purpose been achieved? They do this cycle of doing the seva, evaluating, doing the seva, re-evaluating, till they are sure that the purpose that was meant was achieved. So these people, they have to show a lot of persistence actually. They have to actually struggle to understand what is actually meant when the instruction is given, do this seva. So they just don't tick the seva, but one can say that they stick to the seva till the end. So Lord Hari, the Supreme Lord, is the Hari word is described as Sarva Amangal Haraye Iti Hari. Lord Hari is that person who steals away all the inauspiciousness from his devotee's life. So here the devotees that are being discussed for us last so many months are the gopis of Vrindavan. They are the greatest devotees. So Lord Krishna in the same mood wants to steal away whatever little inauspiciousness is there in their lives. There is no inauspiciousness, but externally at least. So Lord Krishna, because he is Hari, he sends the best servant. Who is the best servant? The best servant, as we discussed just now, is who takes the mission till the end, not just does what is told and comes back. Surely Uddhav fits into the second category. So we'll discuss something about how Uddhav did whatever was told, and he also did more than that, just with one intention. Is Lord Krishna's purpose served in sending him to Vrindavan? Did Uddhav's visit to Vrindavan achieve the desired result? So from the gopi's side, yes, it achieved the desired result. What is that? In the Gita, Krishna says, Yomam pashyati sarvatra, sarvam cha mayi pashyati, tasyaham na pranashyami, sachame na pranashyati. So Krishna says in the Gita that somebody who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, to that person I am not lost, and that person is not lost to me. So in the Bhagavatam also, in the 11th canto, when the Nava Yogendras are talking to King Nimi, then at one place King Nimi asks the question that, can you tell me the descriptions of the Uttam Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari and Kanishtha Adhikari? So first, Havi, one of the 9 Yogendras, he gives the definition of the Uttam Adhikari. So there also, there is only one shloka about the description of an Uttam Adhikari. And that shloka says the same thing. It says, that person who sees everywhere Krishna and sees everything in Krishna, that person is the Uttam Adhikari. And then he describes the Madhyam Adhikari. Bali Shesho Dvishat Sucha, that famous shloka is there. It means, just some time back we were discussing how the gopis, when they are moving around in Vrindavan, they go to every small place in Vrindavan and everything, every leaf, every tree reminds them of Krishna. Here, Krishna did this. Here, we were with Krishna. So the whole place of Vrindavan is actually vibrant with the memories of different activities of Krishna and also different activities that they performed with Krishna. Even some time back when there was a Viraha Geet, before that Viraha Geet, the Gopi Geet, when Krishna left the gopis went mad in separation. And some gopi started behaving like Krishna dancing on Kaliya, and then some gopi started imitating Krishna as he was chastising some other demons and like that. So everything about gopis is very wonderful. They are actually on the platform of the highest devotees. Not just because we are Gaudiya Vaishnavas and because we keep on glorifying them. No, as per the Bhagavatam also, the Nav Yogendras are saying, somebody who sees Krishna everywhere, they are the highest of all devotees. So that is the gopis. Here in today's shloka it is mentioned, Gyatvatmanam Adhokshajam. So they realized, yes, physically we are separated from Krishna, but spiritually we are one. So they experienced union in separation. So the purpose is achieved. That's what Krishna wanted to give. From Uddhava's perspective, what was the purpose for which Krishna sent Uddhava there? The purpose for which Uddhava was sent was his sophisticated knowledge was supposed to melt away in the warmth of the love of the gopis. The simplicity of the gopis was supposed to teach him that knowledge is not everything. Finally, what matters is who pleases Krishna, however uneducated, illiterate he may seem. So Uddhava's consciousness was also upgraded after he visited Vrindavan. It means the purpose for which Krishna sent Uddhava was achieved. The gopis were also relieved of their pain and Uddhava was also upgraded. It means Uddhava stands in the category of the second servant, that he does whatever is necessary, not whatever is told. So we'll discuss few points in this context. Something that we can immediately learn from Uddhava's going to Vrindavan is, it tells us about the power of association and sound vibration. So sometimes we may have the right association, but we are not ready to hear from them. So no sound. So such association, even though it's there, in effect, we are not taking advantage of that association. So the fever of separation from Krishna will continue. Here the fever, jwara, of separation from Krishna was lowered because they heard from Uddhava. We are not on the same platform, but we are also experiencing pain of separation. We may not realize everyone is looking for Krishna. Some know it, some don't know it. So we are also suffering in pain of separation from Krishna. We may not accept it, but that is the real cause. So how will the fever of separation, the pain of separation that we are undergoing, be lessened when we hear to the sound vibration? So we have the association, but if we don't hear the sound, then our pain of separation continues. Sometimes we hear the sound, but we don't want association. So we may want to hear from some exalted devotees, but we don't want association of peer devotees. So what happens? When we hear to the exalted sound vibration of very dear devotees of the Lord, our consciousness gets uplifted. But all of us have experienced that later when that association of those exalted devotees is taken away, it's very difficult to sustain. In that period, when it is difficult to sustain the high consciousness that was created by listening to the exalted devotees, who comes to a rescue? The not so exalted devotees. So, it's not that association is important and sound is not important. It's not that sound is important, association is not important. Sound and association both are important. We need both. We need to hear from devotees, and after having heard, we need to associate with devotees. Both are important. There is one story from one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples. This disciple was personally serving Prabhupada as a servant. So at one point of time, after having served Prabhupada for a long time, he got a desire in his heart that I'm just rendering personal service to my spiritual master, but there is a lot of Vani Seva also that can be done to my spiritual master. And probably he heard a few times from his god brothers, Vani Seva is higher than Vapu Seva. So he developed a desire to give up his personal service to Prabhupada. And he developed a desire to go and preach somewhere. He desired to do some other services. So he could not face Prabhupada directly, as he would keep different letters in front of Prabhupada for him to read. One day he kept a note about it, and he said, I wish to do some other services, is this alright? So Prabhupada called him and said, these are Prabhupada's words, don't be a monkey jumping here and there looking for some different service. Keep the service you have and be satisfied with it. So here the monkey is compared to somebody who is having a flickering mind, who keeps jumping from here and there. But we'll also discuss about one special monkey who does not have this attitude, who does not flicker from one seva to another seva. Instead, he goes deeper and deeper into his seva. This special monkey is, of course, Hanuman. So in the Ramayana, this special monkey, Hanuman, is given the most difficult and the most critical task of locating Mother Sita. And he does it. He overcomes so many obstacles on the way. Finally, he finds Mother Sita. But as he sees Mother Sita, he's pained. He sees that Mother Sita has gone thin. She's almost crying. Almost 10 months in captivity, she has received regular threats from Ravan himself and also from Ravan's representatives in the form of the female Rakshasis there. So she is in a terrible state. She is also feeling the fever of separation. And Hanumanji for a moment feels, I can help her. I will deliver the message of Lord Ram to her and I'll help her, I'll uplift her. Uddhav also thought, I am carrying the message of Krishna and now just see how I can go and help the gopis of Vrindavan. But as he starts talking to Sita, Sita starts explaining her consciousness. Sita says, actually, I should have died long back. The kind of words they speak, the kind of things they have threatened me, it's very difficult to live. Also, my love for the Supreme Lord is very great. So simultaneously, Sita is in great pain and also in some kind of a union in separation. Externally, she is in a very sordid condition. She is in a very sad condition. But internally, the faith that Lord Ram will come, the faith that Lord Ram is invincible, all these Rakshasas, however powerful they may be, they cannot stand in front of the Supreme Lord. As soon as he comes, I'm going with Lord Ram. That faith keeps her alive. So just like Uddhav went to educate the gopis, but he himself got educated. Similarly, Hanuman also, in one sense, he went to educate Mother Sita, if taken in the proper spirit. And he himself got educated. Just like the gopis, sometime back, they were asking Uddhav, does Krishna remember us? Oh, he is surrounded by all these beautiful girls from the city. Does he still talk about us? Similarly, Sita also asks Hanuman, does Ram still remember me? Because there is no news of Ram to Sita and no news of Sita to Ram. 10 months have passed and they don't know anything about each other. And now here is one doot that has come. And so she's asking. Hanuman says, what to speak of remembering you? Sometimes he appears lost. He just keeps looking at the sky sometimes. And it's difficult to understand what is happening. He's in a very sorry condition. Hearing that, Sita feels some reassurance that yes, whatever I was thinking was true. Similarly, the gopis, when they hear Krishna's message being read out by Uddhav, they understand the separation that we feel from Krishna, Krishna is feeling from us and much more than that. In that episode in the Ramayana, Hanuman gives a ring from Lord Ram as a memento. This is something personal from Lord Ram. Here, Uddhav is carrying the letter written by Lord Krishna. So both representatives, they are carrying something, you know, as something very personal from the person whom they are representing. So one reason that is mentioned, you know, we all know that Krishna wrote that letter to the gopis. Now Krishna loves the gopis love Krishna. So in one sense, this is a very candid, this is a very personal letter written by one lover to the beloved. Now, ordinarily, it feels it is against the etiquette. If one person gives you a letter to be delivered to another person, it may not be a love letter. It may not be something personal. But still, we are not expected to read it. How did Uddhav open the letter that Krishna gave to the gopis? And not only opened it, he read it. Every word, verbatim. So, it is explained that actually, Lord Krishna was in tremendous separation from the gopis. And so when he wrote the letter to the gopis, he could not even write it properly. The sentences were not complete. Some of the alphabets were not proper. So, Uddhav, in order to, you know, fill in the gaps, if you could say that, he personally read out the letter. So this shows that Uddhav is in the second category of devotees. The second category does what is needful, does not do what is told. So Uddhav was kind of a delivery boy. Take this letter, give it to the gopis. Yes. But what did Uddhav do? He saw, no, this will not serve the purpose. So he read out the letter. So this is how we can understand how Uddhav is deeply in the mood of a servant. For us, there are some lessons from this. Sincerity in service is not to do minimum efforts to achieve the goal. But sincerity in service is to achieve the minimum goal. And to achieve the minimum goal, many times we will have to do more than what has been told. attention to the words of the spiritual master gives us a clear idea of what needs to be achieved. But attention to the mood of the spiritual master gives us a clear idea about the, you know, it will give us the absorption. So we need to be absorbed in the mood of the spiritual master to understand what needs to be achieved, not what is told. We'll discuss one small incident from Lord Chaitanya's life. This is a very small incident, not a very prominent one, but we felt that it will help us understand this context deeper. So one time in Jagannath Puri, Srila Sanatana Goswami met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and they were discussing. So he began saying that in my childhood, myself and Rupa, their initial uninitiated names were Amar and Santosh. So they said we had a third brother, Anupam. And they said this Anupam was such a staunch devotee of Lord Ramchandra, Raghunath. So they said, Sanatana Goswami is speaking to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the whole day he would read from Ramayana. And he had grasped the feet of Lord Ramchandra in his heart. He was a very staunch devotee of Lord Ram. So Sanatana Goswami is saying that at one point of time, myself and Rupa Goswami, we were talking to him and we were discussing with him how Lord Krishna, from the tattva perspective, he is not different from Lord Ram, but from the rasa perspective, you know, he is the highest, he is the sweetest. The kind of intimacy that is afforded in Krishna Leela is not afforded in Ram Leela. And they themselves are devotees of followers of Lord Chaitanya. So they know about the mellows of different relationships, Sakya, Vatsalya and especially Madhurya. So when they were instructing Anupam, Anupam was also hearing very attentively. Anupam is hearing whatever his brothers have to say. Both of his brothers are elder brothers. So he has great respect for his brothers. So he hears everything, and after he hears, he also puts forward a request to the brothers. He says, kindly initiate me into the Krishna mantra. I will chant the Krishna mantra. And Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, they gave him the Krishna mantra. That night, Anupam goes to sleep. But whole night, he cannot sleep. He's lying on the bed and he's just thinking. He has loved Lord Raghunath. He has loved Lord Ramchandra his whole life. Now one day, how can he give up his chastity to Lord Ramchandra? So next day he gets up and approaches his brothers and says, actually yesterday night I could not sleep whole night. I just kept on crying. This thought of leaving Lord Ramchandra's feet, it broke my heart. He said, it's very difficult for me. Please give me permission to again start serving Lord Ramchandra. The two of you, please be merciful to me and order me in such a way that life after life, I may serve the lotus feet of Lord Raghunath. So now Sanatana Goswami is saying, upon hearing this, we each embraced him and encouraged him by saying, you are a great saintly devotee, for your determination in devotional service is fixed. In this way, we praised him. So the interesting thing is that Sanatana and Rup, they are such exalted devotees. All of the Gaudiya followers, I'll call Rupa Anugas, we are followers of Rupa Goswami. So when we are serving Radha Krishna, when we are serving the path that is given, we are followers of Rupa Goswami. So that Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, when they hear from their brother that he can't serve Lord Krishna, it's difficult for him to shift his chastity from Lord Ramchandra to Lord Krishna, it is specifically mentioned, they both embraced him. It was Rupa Goswami embraced him, Sanatana Goswami embraced him. They were happy, they were overjoyed seeing his fixed up staunch devotional service to Lord Ramchandra. So when this is told by Sanatana Goswami to Lord Chaitanya, one very interesting thing happens. Lord Chaitanya met Rupa and Sanatana at Ramkeli. So what happened in Navadvip in his early youth was not known to Rupa and Sanatana. So Lord Chaitanya reveals another secret that was not yet known to Rupa and Sanatana. He says, you know what? I have also tested one devotee like this. And then he speaks about Murari Gupta. He says, there is one devotee called Murari Gupta. and he is Hanuman reincarnate in this Leela. He is also a staunch devotee of Lord Ram. And one day, I also tested him, requested him to become a devotee of Radha Krishna, but he could not give up his devotion to Lord Ramchandra. And so, I also praised him, I also embraced him. Now, these two incidents have happened separately. They are not known to each other. So, very interesting thing is that Anupam did not make a pretense of hearing. Anupam was, okay, you are my brothers, I can't say no to you, respect, family culture, all that. And he just kept listening. But then, he chanted his own mantra. No, he actually sincerely made an attempt to chant Krishna's mantra. And Roop and Sanatan also, when they heard the reply from Anupam, that sorry, my dear brothers, with all due respect to you, but I cannot chant the Krishna mantra. They also didn't coerce him. They also didn't force him. They didn't push him. They said, how dare you say like this? Don't you know, I am an initiated devotee. He is an initiated devotee. Yeah, sometimes we can get fanatic about certain details instead of focusing on the principles. So Roop and Sanatan, they are such staunch followers of Lord Chaitanya that they are the leaders of our sampradaya. But when their own brother is a staunch devotee of Lord Ramchandra, instead of feeling some kind of a repulsion from him, they actually feel attracted to him. And they reinstate his faith in Lord Ramchandra. They praise him, they glorify him. So, one can understand, Lord Chaitanya also did that, although Lord Chaitanya himself is anarpita charim chirat. Is it not? He has appeared to give the mail of conjugal love. But Lord Chaitanya himself did that with Murari Gupta. It means, what is the mood of Lord Chaitanya? Yes, Lord Chaitanya is giving the Hare Krishna mantra, the Radha Krishna Yugal mantra to everyone. But when he sees that one particular person, a jiva, has already a great amount of wealth of Shraddha in the Supreme Lord, another form of the Supreme Lord, that great wealth is not to be destroyed. That great wealth is not to be touched. It is not to be disturbed. It is to be praised. It is to be glorified. In the Gita, in the 7th chapter, in one shloka, Lord Krishna says, Mayyaiva vihitan hitan. Lord Krishna says that if somebody has some faith in some demigod, he says, I support his faith. I reinstate his faith. So what to speak of Lord Ramchandra? Lord Krishna is so open-minded that if you are worshipping a bona fide servant, an administrator servant of the Lord in the form of a demigod, Lord Krishna says, if he does not have faith in me, but he has faith in a demigod, I only supply him the faith. So this is Lord Krishna's mood. Shraddha in somebody is a very valuable thing. Usually this world is based on faithlessness. If you talk to any people, if you have ever preached to anybody about anything, you will immediately understand the problem is not that he does not know what is right and what is wrong. The problem is he does not have faith in the person who says this is right and this is wrong. The problem today is not dearth of knowledge. The problem today is dearth of Shraddha. So when you see, when all of us, we see somebody who has some Shraddha in somebody bona fide, we are not talking of non-bona fide people here. But when we see somebody having Shraddha in some bona fide representative of the Supreme Lord, the path may be different. But we have to adopt the open-mindedness of Lord Chaitanya. We have to adopt the open-mindedness of Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. We don't disturb it. We learn from it. We take shelter of that faith. So here we see how Rupa and Sanatan, even though they never met Lord Chaitanya, and they did not know that Lord Chaitanya put back the faith of Murari Gupta and Lord Ramchandra, they themselves automatically took that bold step of telling their brother, very nice, very good, please continue ahead. And that is why Rupa Goswami said, Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam. Why is Rupa Goswami Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam? He has understood the mind of Lord Chaitanya. How did he understand the mind of Lord Chaitanya? By being absorbed in Lord Chaitanya's mood, by understanding Lord Chaitanya's words beyond the externalities. So whenever Lord Chaitanya is instructing Rupa Goswami is just not catching the words, he is also trying to understand what is actually meant. So this depth is what makes a servant a better servant, and that is what we see in the case of Uddhav also. Another small incident that is mentioned in Krishna Leela, not a very significant incident, but we could learn from it, that at one point of time in the afternoon, the Gopa friends of Krishna, they come to Krishna and they tell Krishna, 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 Mahabaho. They say, oh Krishna, we are very troubled by hunger. We are very hungry. Please do something. Dushta Nibarhana, they say. So just like you have killed many wicked demons, they say that our hunger is also wicked. It is also very troubling us. So please do something about our hunger. So now, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was explaining this in the class that he gave on this particular small incident. That actually at this point of time, the gopas, they understood that Lord Krishna himself must be hungry. This was afternoon time, lunch time. But the mood of love between Krishna and the gopas and the gopas and Krishna is such that they always want to put the other person in center and they themselves want to keep themselves behind. So the gopas understood, if we tell Krishna, Krishna, you must be hungry. This is the usual lunch time. Then Krishna will say, they are saying that I am hungry. So maybe they themselves are not hungry. So if my devotees are not hungry and I sit for lunch, not good. I'll miss their association. So if the gopas tell Krishna, we are hungry, do something. No, you are hungry, do something about it. So Krishna will say, no, 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 I am not hungry. Because he will feel that the gopas are not hungry. So the only way to feed Krishna is not to remind Krishna that you are hungry and it is lunch time. The only way to feed Krishna is to tell him we are hungry. And because Krishna is Bhakta Vatsal, Krishna will make elaborate arrangements for feeding the gopas. So that's why the gopas say we are hungry, but actually they are not hungry. They are just trying to make up an excuse to feed Krishna. So this is what is called by understanding the mood of the master. The gopas understand what time Krishna becomes hungry and what time Krishna does not become hungry. But beyond this externality, they also understand if he is hungry at this time, how best to ensure that his hunger goes down, not by saying you must be hungry, but by saying we are hungry. This is what is called as understanding the mood of the master. Before the Mahabharata war, Arjun went into tremendous confusion. And the Bhagavad Gita was spoken. All of us know that. The result of the Bhagavad Gita was Arjun's confusion was dispelled. But after the war, something very similar happened. This time Yudhishthir went into confusion. So Yudhishthir is thinking, oh, you know, I did all this for my own personal self-aggrandizement. It is to establish my reputation. The kingdom was going on. The subjects were getting their food and everything else. As far as the administration was concerned, as far as the common subjects were concerned, Duryodhan's ruling was proper. But from the ethical perspective, from the moral perspective, from the dharma perspective, he was supremely wrong. But day-to-day affairs, there was nothing wrong in Duryodhan's kingdom. So Yudhishthir is thinking, everything was going on smooth, I spoiled it. I am the cause. What for? So that I sit on the throne. So essentially, this is the same variety of confusion that Arjun had. Arjun's confusion was based on the bodily concept of life. And the whole Gita was spoken to take away that. Now Yudhishthir is again thinking, why did I do this? This is very wrong. I will go to hellish planets for so many years now because I have killed so many brahmanas, so many women, so many unprotected children. So he's essentially undergoing the same confusion. Now the fine thing to notice is that Lord Krishna could have again repeated the Gita. He just did that. 18 days back he has done that. So not a big deal for him to do that. But he says, do I want to again re-establish my superiority? That just see, I am the Supreme Lord and you know I can speak the Gita whenever I want to and it is such supreme refined knowledge. So he does not do that. He could have chastised Yudhishthir into saying, but don't you understand, Arjun is not, you know, the highest in dharma raj, like that. So he was into confusion, so I dispelled that confusion. But how can you be in confusion? You're dharma raj. Don't you understand the subtleties? Can't you take a lesson? Just sit in some corner with Arjun and Arjun will tell you how this war was not a war between two families. This war was a war between two principles, dharma and adharma. This is my desire. How can you own up to somebody that has been own up to something that is my desire? It is my desire. I own this war. But he did neither. Neither he chastised Yudhishthir, neither he gave another Gita sermon to Yudhishthir. What did he do? He thought, what is best? What is the best thing to do in this situation? The best thing to do in this situation was two things. One was, Bhishma, his whole life was misunderstood. Bhishma was also a great devotee of the Supreme Lord. But because of certain things that he did, he was caught up in his own words and then nobody could understand his greatness. Also, Bhishma, because he was the grandsire of the Kuru dynasty, he had been an administrator for a long, long time. So he was very expert in administration. He was very expert in the science of dharma. So in this particular situation, Krishna takes a step back. He goes out of the limelight and pushes Bhishma into the limelight. Prabhupada mentions in the Srimad Bhagavatam first canto, externally Krishna was speaking to Yudhishthir, but internally as the Paramatma, Krishna was persuading Yudhishthir not to get convinced. This was the time to highlight the special quality and the special heart of Bhishma, one as a very super excellent devotee of Krishna, that he is serving in whatever capacity he can to the best of his ability. And second, he is a very expert person as far as knowledge of dharma is concerned. From the perspective of Yudhishthir, Yudhishthir has already once rejected the advice of Krishna in the Mahabharata war. When Krishna told him, you go to Dronacharya and say, Ashwatthama hatah, he declined. So Krishna knows, again if I tell him, no Baba, this war is for me, there is a chance that Yudhishthir, sticking to his moral principles, might again reject Krishna. So once an offense is already an offense. And Krishna neglected it. But repeatedly, if Krishna advises somebody to do something and that person rejects it, not good for that person also. But he knows one thing. Yudhishthir has great respect for Bhishma. Bhishma is like his grandfather. Throughout his life, Yudhishthir has respected Bhishma. So if Bhishma tells him to do something, Yudhishthir will gladly accept it. So Krishna, here, he is acting as a servant of his devotees. What does he do? What is the mood of his servant? The mood of his servant is not to do what, you know, what is told to do, but he does what is necessary to be done. And sometimes that means taking a step back. So Krishna takes a step back. He takes Yudhishthira to Bhishma. Bhishma gives him an elaborate understanding of what is dharma. And that one devotee was saying how that is the biggest section of the Mahabharata. Raja dharma, Purusha dharma, and all these dharmas. Bhishma instructs Yudhishthira. And the effect on Yudhishthira is the desired effect. The desired effect is Yudhishthira understands. Yudhishthira says, alright, I understood it. This was a war of dharma. This is not my cause. And then he sits on the throne happily and then rules the kingdom. So from these incidents that we have tried to put in front of you, we understand a servant is not one who ticks, but a servant is one who goes through all the grind. He goes through it and then always tries his best to do what the master wanted. So in Hanuman's example, Hanuman delivered the message to Sita, but he could have come back. But what does Hanuman do? Hanuman stays, encourages Sita. Then he thinks, you know, very soon my master is going to come. So let me give a small sample of my master's strength and my master's greatness to Ravan. So although it was not told to Hanuman to cause havoc in Lanka, he takes a step more and he goes around. He destroys the garden. Then he allows himself to be caught by the soldiers of Ravan because he wants to see Ravan firsthand. Then he is taken to the court of Ravan. His tail is lit on fire. And with that lit tail, he destroys almost the full Lanka. But this was not told to him to do. He was just a delivery boy. So what does Lord Ramchandra do when he comes back? When he comes back, Lord Ramchandra says, I told you to do something. You did much more than that. Why? Because you are absorbed in my mood. You are not attentive only to my words. Lord Ramchandra says, I don't have anything to give you. I just have my embrace to you. And then Lord Ramchandra embraces Hanuman. Similarly, here we see in the next shloka, 54, it is mentioned, Uddhav, after delivering the message, reading the message, seeing that they are happy, but in text number 54, translation, it is mentioned, Uddhav remained there for several months, dispelling the gopis' sorrow by chanting the topics of Lord Krishna's pastimes. Thus he brought joy to all the people of Gokul. And in the purport, Srila Jiva Goswami mentions, specifically, Uddhav spent a lot of time with the parents of Krishnananda and Yashoda. So think about it. He was just told to give a letter and come back. But Uddhav is not a superficial servant. Uddhav stays there, revives them, gets educated without feeling any tinge of pride. He says, no, they are better teachers. They are better advanced. I learn from them. So he learns from them. But then he feels it's necessary to stay with them for months. And he stays there and chants the topics of Krishna's pastimes to the Vrajavasis. So definitely, this is the position of the spiritual master. The spiritual master is the representative of the Supreme Lord. He brings the message of the Supreme Lord to those who are feeling separation from Krishna. But the spiritual master is not like a parrot of the Supreme Lord. The spiritual master is not just a person who keeps on repeating shlokas from the scriptures that are the words of Krishna. No. The spiritual master, he chants the shlokas. He repeats the words of Krishna, but he does so in a way in which he has personally understood. He adds his personal flavor to it. The spiritual master has not just listened to the words of Krishna. The spiritual master has listened to the words of Krishna and absorbed the mood of Krishna. So sometimes the words of the spiritual master may not exactly match one to one with the words of Krishna. But he gives us a deeper understanding of Krishna. Why? Because he is in a deeper mood. The two examples that we are considering here are Hanuman and Uddhav. So we saw how Uddhav is into the mood of Krishna. He stays back even though he was not told. The Sanskrit word for monkey, which is Hanuman, is Vanar. So one of our acharyas splits up the word Vanar into two words. One is Va and one is Nara. So Nara means human and Va means or. O-R, English or. So Va Nara, when combined, means monkey. But when you split it, it means or human. It means the question is asked, is he human? So a spiritual master is sometimes called Vanar. Why is spiritual master called Vanar? He is not called Vanar because he is a monkey. He is called Vanar because when we see the spiritual master, we have to ask the question, is he a human? Because he looks like a human being. He also has two hands, two legs, two eyes and the external human form. But he is not a human. He is a transcendental personality, a transparent via medium to the Supreme Lord. Sakshad Haritvena Samastha Shastra Uktastatha Bhavyate Eva Sadvi. Yes. He is different from the Lord, but he is to be considered by the disciple as non-different from the Supreme Lord. Why? Because he is Priya Evatasya. He is very dear to the Supreme Lord. For a disciple, he is to be considered non-different. That is why spiritual master is called Vanar. So here we see that Uddhav and Hanuman. Hanuman is literally Vanar and Uddhav is, you know, we could say philosophically a Vanar. He is carrying the message of Lord Krishna to the gopis and it has the desired effect. Another interesting lesson that we have, we just have 2 minutes, so we'll take a quick thing. These are the last points. Another interesting lesson that we can learn is when we are given a seva, many times we feel we are one of the, you know, internal servants. And that's why we are given a seva. And now when we do that seva, the person who receives the seva will be benefited. But here it's a clear indication that from Krishna's perspective, you know, there is no internal and external. Everyone is his servant. So when Krishna engages us in his service, when the representative of Krishna engages us in his service, it is primarily meant to purify the sevaite. The sevak needs to be purified, not the savior, you know, the person to whom you are doing the seva. So here Uddhav thought, oh, I am a representative of Krishna, now I will do some benefit to the Vrajvasis. But he realized Krishna sent him specifically to be purified himself. Similarly, in our services, the spiritual master gives us some seva, do this. And sometimes, you know, one thing that I myself do is, you know, sometimes we conduct some programs and we speak something that we have heard from other devotees. So sometimes this thought can come, you know, I am a representative of Krishna, now I will go and speak something and now I will deliver these people. But from this it is very clear, when I am speaking the Gita, when I am speaking the Bhagavatam, the first success is myself. Because I am speaking from the Gita, from the Bhagavatam, I am not speaking my thoughts, essentially. It means it will have a purifying effect on me. It puts a greater responsibility on me. When I get off the Vyasasan, I have to stand by at least those words that I have spoken in the class. So who will benefit from this class? First, me. Minimum. If somebody else who listens to this class benefits, it is to his credit. Similarly, now we can learn that in every seva we do, the seva is not meant for the benefit of those who witness or see the seva. The seva is not meant for the benefit of those who receive the seva. The seva is meant of those who are doing the seva. So to put it simply, the more we feel fortunate to have the opportunity of seva, the more we are in the Uddhav mood. What is my fortune? My fortune is that I am getting an opportunity to serve. This is the fortune. But and more, we are in the mood that the fruits of my seva are my fortune. So after I do my seva, what happens? That is my fortune. That is what I am seeking. Then more we are in the mood of ordinary mundaners. So one thing that we can learn from Uddhav is, whatever seva we are doing, the seva itself is the reward. The result of the seva may or may not be the reward. That's like an additional thing that we may get. But then our real benefit is the seva that we do. So these are a few thoughts on this two shlokas. I'm very grateful to all of you for your patient listening. Since the time is over, there are no questions. But if somebody has any comment, then we can take one or two comments. If somebody has some question to ask, you can ask after the class is over. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai. Anantakoti Vaishnavrinda ki jai.